From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
He actually played an April Fool's joke on me and called me one day and said, "Hey, a producer from Oprah wants to talk to you." And I said, "Come on, get out, stop playing." And lo and behold, he wasn't kidding. He actually called the number and I heard the outgoing message. And it was one of Oprah's producers. So, of course, I lost it and was really excited. And he said, "Now, I got you. I'm not playing April Fool's. So are you ready for an interview?" And I said, "Well, yeah, of course I am." So the producer, Colleen, called me the next day. And she said to me that Oprah thought it would be cool if you would jump off her building. And I thought, well, what?
Right.
And I just felt like, oh my gosh, she's not in Sears Tower, right? Because I know that's the tallest building. So the producer proceeded to tell me that the building was 40 stories. And I thought, well, yeah, I can do that because that's 40 feet. To me, that wasn't that high. But to the normal everyday person, if you're standing at a building that's 4 stories high and you look up, it doesn't look that high. But when you get on the roof and you look down, that's when it becomes, whoa, this is kind of high. But for me, it was just, a walk in the park. It was easy. It was just, another day of practice, another day of fun for me.
Angela Murrow, former model and makeup artist and author of Stunts, the how-to handbook, Secrets from an Award-Winning Hollywood Stunt Woman. As a 15-year veteran Hollywood stunt woman, Murrow has bungee jumped off rooftops, fallen great heights from tall buildings, had numerous fistfights, and has ended up with her share of scrapes, bumps, and bruises. And this self-proclaimed tomboy loves every minute of it. Murrow received her first stunt job alongside actor Sinbad in the movie First Kid. The game changer occurred when she came crashing through a glass table in the opening scene of Kill Bill Volume 1 while doubling for Vivica A. Fox. That performance garnered industry-wide recognition and applause from peers in the business and fans to this day. In her book, Stunts, she gives us the 411 and offering untold stories for success in the stunt business where she frequently doubled for such A-list names as Beyonce, Halle Berry, Rihanna, Vanessa L. Williams, and many more. In 2014, she was nominated for Stunt Woman of the Year for her performance in NCIS LA. In the TV drama, she jumps backwards out a window on the 31st floor. Action flicks is her specialty. I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Stunts, the how-to handbook with Hollywood stunt woman Angela Murrow, In Black America.
Yes and no. I mean, I've been through both. For Holly, the first time I doubled her on Their Eyes Were Watching God, I went to set, and basically I was standing off in a distance, and the stunt coordinator went over to her. Now, I can see her. She can see me. But she can't hear me because she's that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Stunt coordinator pointed to where I was, and he basically made the motion for me to turn around. So I did a little spin, and I'm standing there, and I felt so uncomfortable. And in my head, I'm saying, "Oh my gosh, this is so silly. I can't believe we have to do this, but I want this job." So, she gave the nod, and I got the job. And with Beyonce, her team, I don't know what it is, but they always take me, and I'm sure other women that possibly have doubled her, they take you through it. They basically, mm-hmm. Let me see a headshot. Let me see, do you have a website? Even though I have pictures with her, even though I've doubled her before, they still want to see all these things, which is fine. I understand every director is different, so they still want proof. They still want to see. So I get it. It's just part of the business, some of the things that we have to go through. And then sometimes you don't have to go through that. They just ask you for a picture, take a picture on your iPhone or Samsung, submit it. What do you look like today? And that's it.
In the 1950s and 60s, few African Americans had roles in television or film and rarely were given the opportunity to work as stunt men or women. Most often, these few opportunities available to individuals willing to engage in the dangerous work as a stunt double were taken by whites, who donned dark makeup to look like African-American actors they were portraying. Today, they call it painting down. Things are a little different these days. As a child growing up in New Jersey, Angela Murrow, the multi-talent woman behind some of Hollywood's most action-packed stunt scenes, never thought that football, karate, gymnastic, and childhood roughhousing, such as crashing her bike and riding on the hoods of cars, would influence her career. But her pursuit of the thrill has led her to become a veteran Hollywood stunt woman. In 1995, while working as an extra on the set of Dead Presidents, she was asked if she could do a particular stunt. Well, as the saying goes, the rest is history. You've probably seen her work, but just didn't know it. Merle has doubled for a who's who among Hollywood's elite. In her book, Stunts, she gives us an inside look at being a stunt double.
Willingboro, New Jersey. You know, it's small town.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the South, but it's a small town in a suburban neighborhood, and it was awesome. I mean, this was the time where you could ride your bike as a young child to school, walk to school, and not worry about getting snatched, kidnapped like kids today. It's unfortunate. You know, everybody had a backyard. We all knew each other. We all walked to school together and played together. It was just a great time.
You talk about in your book tussling and hanging out with your brothers. You called yourself, or they called you, a tomboy.
Yes, totally. Because I was always wanting to play football with them and run and fall and play basketball and just do all the athletic stuff. But I still played with Barbies, though.
At what point, and we're going to talk about your career.
Okay.
At what point that you assembled all this information and expertise that you thought that you needed to share this with others?
At what point did I decide I needed to share that information?
Yes.
Well, you know, a friend of mine, Stu Large Riley, who's also an actor, I had called him once and let him know that I was about to be on Oprah, and he suggested that I write a book right before I go on the show. And I said, well, I'm leaving on the plane today. There's no way I could get this out before I go on Oprah. So after talking to him, I just decided it was time for me to share because I wanted to give back. And, you know, we always get that question of how did you get started? How can I get in? What's it like being a stunt woman? So I wanted to share because there isn't a book out like mine, a how-to guide. There are other stunt books, but it's basically about stunt men and their lives of stunt doubling. There isn't a female's book, a woman's book. But this book isn't just for women. It's for men and women because it is a how-to guide.
You mentioned Oprah, and you begin the book with the Oprah experience. Tell us how that all came about, because it was very interesting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, my publicist, who is unfortunately now deceased, he actually played an April Fool's joke on me and called me one day and said, hey, a producer from Oprah wants to talk to you. And I said, come on, get out, stop playing. And lo and behold, he wasn't kidding. He actually called the number, and I heard the outgoing message. And it was one of Oprah's producers. So, of course, I lost it and was really excited. And he said, nah, I got you. I'm not playing April Fool. So are you ready for an interview? And I said, well, yeah, of course I am. So the producer, Colleen, called me the next day. And she said to me that Oprah thought it would be cool if you would jump off her building. And I thought, well, what?
Right.
And I just felt like, oh my gosh, she's not in the Sears Tower, right? Because I know that's the tallest building. So the producer proceeded to tell me that the building was 40 stories. And I thought, well, yeah, I can do that because that's 40 feet. To me, that wasn't that high. But to the normal everyday person, if you're standing at a building that's 4 stories high and you look up, it doesn't look that high. But when you get on the roof and you look down, that's when it becomes, whoa, this is kind of high. But for me, it was just, you know, a walk in the park. It was easy. It was just, you know, another day of practice, another day of fun for me. So that's basically how that came about. It was my glamorous dream job, and mine is doing stunts and acting.
Now, you say it was easy for us lay people. But according to you in the book, and we're gonna reference the book now.
Okay.
It was in the wintertime and the wind was blowing. And anyone knows anything about Chicago and where Oprah's production office is, not that far from Michigan Avenue.
No.
So get real with us here now.
Well, you know, as I said, the jump was easy. But standing out there shivering because I had on a long sleeve, really thin shirt,
mm-hmm.
and another T-shirt, short sleeve T-shirt on top of that, that didn't help with the winds of Chicago because it's not that far from Michigan Avenue and it's not that far from the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So those winds were kicking up. And you can see, I still have a picture of it, part of the written interview on my website, you can see my hair is blowing. And I was freezing. My teeth were chattering. You know, I was standing there trying to stay warm. Luckily for me, in between segments, I was allowed to go inside. But mm-hmm. I don't weigh but 123 pounds. You know, so I'm thinking, God, can the wind possibly carry me off my mark? That's what was my concern. You know, but the jump itself was easy. I mean, once you take that step off the ledge, you're in God's hands or whoever's hands you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just, for me, like flying and floating and just waiting to hit the airbag.
What was it like when you did the jump and then you went back inside to the studio and you sat down and had a conversation with Miss O?
Well, Miss O, that was one of the most amazing experiences in my life, because in the book I also tell how I hadn't done a high fall in 8 years. So that weekend prior to me going, I went and practiced. I started from 10 feet, 20 feet, 15 feet. So after I did the jump, I could take a breath. Okay, I did it on live TV. But now I've got to run in 90 seconds, run in, get touched up, and then go sit down with Oprah Winfrey and try to sound intelligent and not be nervous and not freeze. You know, when I was sitting there looking at her, I actually felt at ease, and I actually felt, wow, she's looking at me and she's really listening to me. I mean, when they say she's very easy to talk to, you feel like you're talking to a friend. I totally agree. Totally agree.
Now, you mentioned in the book that you left New Jersey and you went to New York to be a model.
Yes.
How did that transfer into you doing stunt work?
Well, you know, I am petite. I'm not quite, you know, 5'9", 5'11", which runway models typically are. Mm-hmm. I was still doing print in catalogs and doing commercials and things. And a friend of mine was assisting me in becoming SAG, the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
So he asked me, you know, would you mind doing a stunt? And I said, well, what's that? I had no idea that this was even a career. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to try to get you on this movie, First Kid, and you just might have to let somebody bump into you, or you might have to run and fall. So I said, okay, that's considered stunts. You know, I grew up doing that, and now I'm going to get paid for it. Awesome. It was a win-win for me, you know, doing something that I love and getting paid. How could I say no to that? So from there, I started getting calls from New York stunt coordinators because I started marketing myself as a stunt woman not too long after that.
Now, when you decided to make that plunge to be a stunt woman, what were some of the preparation and beforehand work that you needed to do if you're going to do this for a career?
Well, some of the preparations were, you know, I can't remember the name of the movie. I want to say it was Hannibal. Hannibal, the second one, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine was working on it, and I went down to introduce myself to the coordinator, and I met Kim Washington. I had met her on First Kid, and we talked briefly, but she was on this film. And Kim Washington had been in the business. She comes from a stunt family. Her dad is, I want to say, Richard Washington, well-known stunt performer. She and I had a very long conversation one morning in the hotel, and she basically was just mentoring me and telling me, you know, sharing some of her things, some of the things that she's been through, some of her stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I want to do this. I really want to do this. So, you know, I thought, well, what do I need to do? Where do I need to start? Where do I need to train? So martial arts has been and is my background. So I just started training with this karate school in Philadelphia and just kept doing it. And the next thing was driving, you know, driving on commercials and film fighting and falling and all of that stuff. It's just your background, your foundation to becoming a stunt performer.
How important is the stunt coordinator on a particular film or project that you work with?
He is the most important thing, person, for us, the stunt people, because he's the one that tells us what he needs us to do. He gives us, you know, he's like a lifeline between the director or producer directly to us.
Mm-hmm.
He has scouted the location. He has set up the stunts or assisted to set up the stunts if there's some rigging that needs to be done. He himself possibly has already done this stunt in his career. So he can walk you through it. He can talk you through it. And so, I mean, he is like the most important person for us, safety-wise and everything.
Is there a big difference other than the pay when you do a stunt for a television program versus a motion picture?
Well, I want to say yes, because motion pictures have a bigger budget most of the times, but it depends on what kind of TV show you're working on. If you're working on a number one TV show, such as, I'll just throw this one out, Modern Family, you may make as much for the day as you would on a film. So there can be a big difference, and some days there might not be a big difference. I'm sorry, that really doesn't help, but that's just the way it is.
How would you describe one of your typical days if you're not on the set?
Well, you know, it just depends. Some days I'm in acting class. Some days I'm in improv class. Some days you're at the track practicing your driving. And then some days you're sitting in front of your computer all day submitting yourself for projects, whether it's acting or stunts. And then some days you're in your car driving around looking for movie sets to go and introduce yourself to stunt coordinators.
Now, you mentioned acting class. Why is that important for a stunt woman? I thought you all just go in, do the stunt, and go home.
That is funny. Well, stunts is actually acting and reacting, because you're doubling somebody that's acting, and they're going to be reacting to something. So you have to know how to take a punch and fall and do all that stuff. But also, you have to know, what would my body do if this person was to hit me or punch me, or if I was to get shot or fall? How would I? You're acting. And also, for stunt performers, sometimes we do get called in for acting roles. You know, it could be a couple of lines, it could be one word. So I like to be prepared, and I am actually going to be on Supergirl that airs on November 9th.
Okay.
I actually have a part where it's a small stunt, but I have a couple of lines. So like I said, I like to be prepared, and I want to do more acting, because that's where I started. Besides the modeling, I started off as an actress.
I know that's right. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with Angela Merle, former model, makeup artist, and author of Stunts, the How-To Handbook, Secrets from an Award-Winning Hollywood Stunt Woman. Now, I know all the females that listen to this program and other folks want to know, who have you doubled for?
Well, you know, I always start off with Beyonce, because I am a fan, big, huge fan of Beyonce's, and I so enjoyed working with her for Austin Powers, Goldmember, Pepsi commercial, Vizio commercial, one of her last videos, On the Run, and Obsessed. You know, I just, watching her career expand and grow, and watching her come into, you know, being a woman and being a mother, it's just been inspirational for me. And Halle Berry as well. I really enjoyed doubling her and watching her. I mean, she's such a phenomenal actress. I learned a lot from watching her. You know, it's all about being, gosh, what is that word? It's all about the little things that you do that make the character. It could be the way you move your fingers or you look, your eyes. It's all about the details. That was the word I was looking for. It's all about the details when you're acting. And when she acts, that's what I see. It's all the little nuances. So Beyonce, Halle Berry, Rihanna was a blast to double, listening to her with her accent. She was a lot of fun to work with. Vanessa Williams, I enjoyed working with her. I worked with her for a couple of years, Shaft and Desperate Housewives and Boomtown and Ugly Betty. So a lot of these women I've doubled quite a few times.
Now, when you go in to audition, do you get the once over from the actress in which you're going to double for?
You know, it depends. Yes and no. I mean, I've been through both. For Holly, the first time I doubled her on Their Eyes Were Watching God, I went to set, and basically I was standing off in a distance, and the stunt coordinator went over to her. Now, I can see her. She can see me. But she can't hear me because she's that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Stunt coordinator pointed to where I was, and, you know, he basically made the motion for me to turn around. So I did a little spin, and I'm standing there, and I felt so uncomfortable. And in my head, I'm saying, oh, my gosh, this is so silly. I can't believe we have to do this, but I want this job. So, you know, she gave the nod, and I got the job. And with Beyonce, her team, I don't know what it is, but they always take me, and I'm sure other women that possibly have doubled her, they take you through it. They basically, mm-hmm. let me see a headshot. Let me see, do you have a website? Even though I have pictures with her, even though I've doubled her before, they still want to see all these things, which is fine. You know, I understand every director is different, so they still want proof. They still want to see. So I get it. You know, it's just part of the business, some of the things that we have to go through. And then sometimes you don't have to go through that. They just ask you for a picture, take a picture on your iPhone or Samsung, submit it. What mm-hmm. do you look like today? And that's it. So it just varies.
What type of gratification and feeling did you receive after Quentin Tarantino told you made the first 10 minutes of Kill Bill Volume 1? Because everyone doesn't know you're in that first scene.
That first 10 minutes, exactly. And, you know, that movie has become a cult favorite. When people ask me what's the favorite thing, what have you done, and when I say Kill Bill, the first thing is, oh, you did Kill Bill? And it just makes me laugh. It makes me feel good. It makes me excited. And it takes me back to that moment where they told me I got the job. I was very excited. I wanted to jump up and down and scream, but of course I couldn't because we were in, you know, the gym and Quentin was there and the first AD was there. And, you know, it was just a pivotal moment in my career. It really, really was, because that fight scene is a cult favorite, as I said, and I can't tell you how many times I've gotten the phone call. So, Angela, we want to recreate the Kill Bill fight scene. And it's okay. It's a low budget. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that, because that scene was tremendously, it was challenging. It was difficult.
It was dangerous.
It was dangerous, but it was also a thrill and it was also fun for me.
When you get I guess when you get the call sheet and you're going in to do a particular stunt, how important is to you to, and I guess I use a phrase from one of the movies, getting your mind right when you go in and do that particular stunt? Because some of the stunts that you describe in your book is kind of hazardous and downright scary, to be truthful.
They are, but for me, the what if factor, the scared factor is good, because it keeps you on your toes and it keeps you alert and it makes you think through the stunt. Okay, what if the fire goes this way? You know, what if it's a little windy and it doesn't go where it's supposed to? Or what if, you know, the brakes fail on this car? Where's my out so I don't hit anybody? Where's my out if the car is coming at me and I don't get hit? Where is my out? Which way do I run? So, yeah, I mean, you're always thinking. So my preparation is basically, of course, my first thing is always prayer. And then my second thing is visualization of the stunt from the moment I leave the house, getting to set, going through hair and makeup. I have steps that I go through. And the last step is most definitely coming home in one piece and seeing my family. That is the last and final step that I visualize, the stunt going well and me coming home in one piece.
What advice would you give? I guess it's a two-part question. What advice would you give, one, a person who is anticipating on becoming a stunt woman or stunt person, and advice you would give their parents?
Well, the first step would be get my book.
Of course.
Get my book and read it. Don't just look at it. And seek out mentors, people that are where you would like to see your career going, people that are doing what you would like to do, whether it's fighting, motorcycles, skydiving, you know, all those types of things. Seek out those people and ask for advice and ask on, you know, what should I do? And then the second thing for their parents is be supportive.
Is it good to have a specialty? Because obviously in reading your book, you have some specialties, but you also have other things that you work at on a constant basis.
It is good to have a specialty. Some people come in from gymnastics. Some people come in from
motocross. Is that the best way?
Well, there is no best way. Okay. Everybody's path is different. You know, of course, if you come in from motocross, you would be you know, using a slang word, you would be the bomb on motorcycles because you already know how to ride, you know how to do some tricks. So that would be easy for you. And plus, you've already made a name for yourself. When you start submitting yourself, people will probably know who you are and think, oh, okay, this person's good. Can they handle themselves on camera? That would be the next question. You know, you can ride the bike, but can you hit a mark on camera? Are you good with working around people? Are you good with working around cameras? That would be the next question. So everybody's path into the business is different.
Obviously, with the success of some of the African-American actors and actresses to this day, there's a little bit more work going on, particularly either on television or in motion pictures. Is that transferring into what you do?
Oh, definitely, because if you see an African-American male or female on TV and it's action, even if it's comedy action, they need a double. So, yes, it does trickle down to us for sure. And also,
go ahead and finish your thought.
Also, you know, we do nondescript stunts. So a movie such as Compton or Dope, you know, any African-American movie, there's a crowd scene. There's going to be nondescript stunts, which is basically you're not doubling. You're in a crowd scene. They're going to need African-American people and Latinos and just, you know, all different races, not just African-Americans, because this is a melting pot. You need all races.
Are you getting work that is not particularly geared towards a female stunt person? Anyone could do the stunt simply because no one sees the person inside, say, a car.
Yes. Yes. I worked on Ride Along, doing some driving behind the action because you always need traffic. And I worked on Ninja Turtles, again, behind a lot of the action. That could be a male or female. So, yes, I would say that for sure. I mean, there are, you know, car commercials that you can do that you can't see inside the car, and it could be a man or a woman.
Now, we don't want to give the audience a false impression that this is an occupation where the possibility of you getting hurt is less than 10%, but that's not so the case.
No, it's not the case. There are injuries on this job quite frequently, and it could be something as simple as you breaking a finger or twisting an ankle or breaking your back. I mean, the injuries, you know, go from A to Z with this job, or you could just be getting a bruise or a black eye. I mean, or you could not get any bruises and go home the same way you went to work. It just varies. Every day is different. You never know what's going to happen. You just hope and pray that you're going to be fine.
So what keeps you going and keep coming back?
Well, as you said,
other than the paycheck.
Well, other than the paycheck, I just genuinely love what I do.
Angela Merle, stunt woman, actor, motivational speaker, and author of Stunts, the How-To Handbook, Secrets from an Award-Winning Hollywood Stunt Woman. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.